Okay, it's 5 o'clock. Let's call our meeting to order. Let's start with roll call.
Chair McMillan.
Here.
Vice Chair Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth.
Here.
Commissioner Hurt.
Here.
Commissioner Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner Mielke.
Here.
Commissioner Tessison.
Here.
All present. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any speakers tonight?
No.
Okay. Before we move on to our next agenda, as I was walking in, I got some good news I thought I'd share with you. Not to steal Peter's thunder probably later in the presentation, but check my phone. I looked at Denver weather, and it's currently 21 degrees and snowing right now. So hopefully we'll get a lot of extra water next year. Compliments of Colorado. Okay, so let's move on to agenda item number one, review and approval of the January 7th, 2020 special session meeting minutes. Any comments on the minutes? Everybody's happy.
I move approval.
On the minutes.
I move approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It has passed. Agenda two, discussion on the draft water utility annual report. Director Peter.
Thank you, Chair. So every year, the water utility renders a water utility report to the mayor and council. It's called the Water Utility Annual Report, and it'll be the April 2020 edition. The report documents the commission actions and utility activities for the calendar year 2019, as well as the finances for fiscal year 18-19. It's required by Article 15-4-5 of the Town Code. The report's prepared by water utility staff. The commission reviews and comments on the report, and town staff then renders the report to town council on behalf of the commission. And at that time, the report becomes a public document. The contents this year is similar to last year. As you remember, last year we kind of revamped the report to try to make it more condensed and a little easier read. But the contents are the same as last year. We talk about the Water Utility Commission. We have an executive summary. We discuss water resources, you know, regulatory compliance, engineering and planning, capital projects, customer service, water conservation, operations and maintenance, water quality, backflow prevention, security, as well as the financial highlights. So the schedule, on February 10th, Danielle will email the draft to the commission. If there's any commissioners that have a problem with email, we can make a print copy available. On the 21st of February, we ask that comments are due back to Danielle, and there's her email address there. On March 9th, a final presentation to the commission and recommendation to render the report to town council. The following day, on March 10th, we'll make final adjustments to the report, if any. And then on the 13th of March, we'll render the report to town council on behalf of the commission. And on the 16th, the utility staff will transmit the report to the clerk's office for public record notification. With that closes that update. Any questions? Thank you.
Peter. Okay, item three, update and discussion on the 2019 water impact fee analysis. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. So late last year, I updated the commission that we were in the process of updating our impact fee analysis. And for Commissioner Merrick, who's new to the commission, impact fees are the way that we collect fees for growth to pay for improvements to the water infrastructure so we can support that growth. Oral Valley has a belief system here that, you know, growth pays for itself, and the water utility is in alignment with that. So that's the purpose of of impact fees, is to collect money so that we can provide the infrastructure necessary to support that growth. So our impact fee analysis is complete. We've updated our infrastructure improvement plan. We call that our IIP, and project costs. So that's all the projects necessary to support future growth and the costs associated with it. The impact fee analysis, it looks 5 years ahead. We do an impact fee analysis at a minimum every 5 years. If things change significantly, we can do it sooner than 5 years. You could do it every year if you wanted to. Some projects on the IIP fall beyond the five-year window. And in general, growth determines when projects will need to be constructed. So if growth comes quicker than we think it will accelerate the projects on the schedule. And likewise, if growth happens slower than we expect, then the projects get pushed further into subsequent years. We've updated our water use patterns. For example, our typical single-family resident consumption is less than it was 5 years ago. Likewise, commercials down a little bit, but irrigation is up. Utility, we will combine our two impact fee funds into one fund moving forward. As you'll remember, right now we have two impact fee funds. One is our Alternative Water Resource Development Impact Fee Fund, and we have a Potable Water System Development Impact Fee Funds, and they're now going to be aggregated into one fund to be called our Water Resource and System Development Impact Fee Fund. And the reason that happened is when we started the impact fees, it made sense to have two impact fee funds. One was intended for renewable water resources, or bringing CAP water into our system, and the other one was for existing system improvements to support growth. But now, as we look at the projects, we come to realize that it really isn't that fine line isn't there anymore. It's really just overall system improvement to our existing system to support growth. So thus one impact fee fund, and that makes it a lot easier for us for sure to track and monitor and to put the costs where they need to be. Stakeholder and public review process is currently underway. So I just wanted to show the commission here. Here's some little components I took out of the impact fee analysis. And it's broken up from a water resource or from a water utility perspective into supply, storage, and distribution. So here I have it broken down into supply and infrastructure improvement plan supply. And the reason that is just in supply here, in 2007, the water utility was able to increase its CAP allocation by almost 3,600 acre feet, and we paid for the capital for that out of impact fee funds because we earmarked that CAP water for future growth. Well, since that time, we've used some of that water to support growth. So yesterday's future customer is today's existing customer. So we've calculated the remaining capacity is 3,000 acre feet. And that has a cost associated with it. And we're proposing that future growth pays for that capital of that 3,000 acre feet. And it goes down every year until at some point that future growth is now existing customers now will extinguish that CAP surplus there. So that's what's the supply side of the impact fee. Now, as far as our infrastructure improvement plan supply, these are actual projects here. So we have, a steam pump well. And then also you'll see here we have, these are our NWRRDS projects, our Northwest Recharge and Recovery Delivery System projects. And the P here, these are the partnered projects. In a future update, I'll provide you a future update on NWRRDS, but as you recall, there's a partnered portion and an independent portion. So these projects identify growth-related work within our existing service area, and the rest of these are NWRDS projects that'll bring in additional 4,000 acre feet into our service area, and this is the supply portion of that. Moving on, we have our IIP storage and distribution. So looking here, here's the storage projects. I see here we have some projects within our existing service area, and then there's NWRDS projects. There's partnered and independent projects, and that's storage related. And here we have engineer cost estimates, and what it is you're trying to really calculate, okay, what is each service unit's portion to support those projects or that future growth. And then finally, we have infrastructure improvement plan distribution projects. So here we have some projects to support growth within our existing system here. And then you'll see partnered NWRDS projects and independent NWRDS projects. So how does it look in the end? Well, the impact fees proposed and current. So here for a 5/8 inch meter, and I'll have to look at my printout here. Okay, so for a 5/8 inch meter, which is our typical single-family resident customer, their current impact fee is $6,060. Looking at our current infrastructure improvement plan, it looks like we're proposing an increase of $327, and that would be a proposed fee of $6,387. And then as you go up in meter size, you'll see the impact fee increases. And the reason it increases is because of the capacity ratio. What happens is our system has to be able to provide service to these larger meters, and it has more of a demand on the system. So therefore, the larger the meter, the larger your impact fee. Overall, there's an increase across the board, except for multifamily. The per unit cost has gone down $864. Looking at non-residential, here for a 5/8 inch meter size, we're seeing a decrease for all non-residential. The current fee was $7,877. That's for a 5/8 inch meter. And the proposed fee is $7,087 for a reduction of $790. Finally, our last meter classification, the irrigation meters. For a 5/8 inch meter, we're looking at increasing our fee from the current fee of $10,906 to $14,343. And this is just the study is pretty very comprehensive. It looks at obviously the IIP, the cost associated with the projects. It looks at the growth of the town. When will the growth come? It's pretty comprehensive. And the study was done by a consultant, Tischler Bass Spice, which is a national consulting firm that specializes in impact fees. So the next steps, you can see there, I crossed out the steps we've already accomplished. The staff reviewed and accepted the impact fee that was performed by the consultant. Late last year, I provided a Water Utility Commission update. Right now, we've already started the adoption process. I called it round one, and that's where we made the impact fee study available to our stakeholders. And our stakeholders are those folks that are particularly concerned about impact fees, home builders, their associations and alliances. So like SABA would want to take a look at this, or the Metropolitan Pima Alliance, or just citizens in general. Tonight I'm providing the Water Utility Commission update, and then we're going to continue with our public review process. I call it round two. So we have meetings coming up where we'll review the development fee and revenue projections. And the fees become effective 75 days after adoption. So, you know, it depends how much, you know, we're going to have a lot of stakeholder input and a lot of discussions. So I'm not sure exactly how many meetings we'll end up having. I'll provide an update to the commission at that time and when they're adopted, and I'll let you know what the final fees are. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Is the adoption a council action?
Yes, the adoption is a council action.
Are the tables that you provided in the agenda packet that was online?
Yes, they're in the PowerPoint presentation. If you want to look at the entire impact fee analysis, if you go under the finance section of the town's website, the whole report is there.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, do we have a lot of residential customers with irrigation meters?
No.
I can't imagine.
No, not residential customers with irrigation meters. I mean, since I've been here, we haven't had any. You know, typically most residential customers, you know, they just irrigate off their 5/8 inch,
their
5/8 inch meter.
Another question regarding fire service, is the fire service that goes to residential homes, I know a lot of them require them now because of the square footage and the new fire code.
Excellent question. So I just went back a couple slides here. If you look at the residential meter size, so most residential meters, you know, most residences need a 5/8 inch meter. If, because you have to be sprinklered, you need a 3/4 inch meter, we only charge you the impact fees for the 5/8 inch meter because we're not expecting, we didn't think it's fair to the customer to charge them for a 3/4 inch meter for something that, God willing, will never need to be used, because it's for the capacity for the fire sprinkler system. So I just wanted to just add that in. So, yeah, you know, what will happen is we'll review plans and, hey, it needs a 5/8 inch meter. But now you're going to sprinkler the house. It could bump you up to a 3/4 inch, but we'll charge you the impact fees for the 5/8 inch. Yeah, excellent question. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there any sort of set timeline on this process?
The sooner the better. Yeah, I have every expectation we should be done with it this spring. We need to have it in place soon.
What's the difference between a standard and a compound meter?
So a lot of times, say, if you will see here, like you'll see a 2-inch compound. What it is it's basically 2 meters in one. What happens is, because it's a 2-inch meter, under very low flow, you won't get a really good reading. So you'll have a smaller meter to read the low flows and a larger meter to read the higher flows within the same meter. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Okay, update, discussion, and possible action on proposed water rates. Ms. Rollis.
Thank you, Chair. This is an update on the proposed water rates. The water rates analysis goals develop water rates that generate sufficient revenue to meet revenue and cash reserve requirements, meet debt service coverage requirements, ensure revenue stability, and maintain the overall financial health of the utility. The water rates also promote water conservation, are the minimum necessary to avoid rate shock, adapt to changing rate drivers and consumer trends, be equitable between customer classifications, and recover the cost of service. The assumptions used are consistent with the general fund's financial plan for personnel costs. Interest earnings are projected at an average of 1.5%. Inflation rates are at 2% annually, and single-family residential growth rate of 1,395 over the five-year planning period. The rate design is affected by rising costs associated with capital infrastructure projects, rising costs of renewable water supplies, new debt financing for NWRRDS and existing system CIP, continued loss of the Vistoso 18-hole golf course, and implementation of the updated reclaim rate model. The preferred financial scenario achieves the water rates analysis goals, addresses the rate setting assumptions, and addresses the considerations affecting the rate design. This is a summary of the preferred financial scenario. The operating revenues include water sales, fees, and interest income. And in 2020-21, they are $14 million, and in 2024-25, they increased to $16 million. Expenses are operating expenses include personnel, O&M, and CAP costs. They don't include capital and debt service, which is $4 million over the five-year period every year. The cash reserve requirement is 20% personnel, O&M, and debt service, and that is met. That requirement is met each of the 5 years. The required 1.3 debt service coverage is of 1.3 is met each of the 5 years. The proposed potable base rate increase for fiscal year 2021 is an increase of 2.4% or $1 per month for a 5/8 inch meter, which is 88% of our customers. The proposed reclaimed commodity decrease for 2021 is 5.3% or a decrease of 12 cents per 1,000 gallons. And this is a decrease of $1,200 per month for the average TURF customer using 10 million gallons. The reclaimed GPF, the proposed reclaimed GPF decrease is 21.3% or a 10 cent decrease for per 1,000 gallons. And this is a $1,000 decrease per month for the average TURF customer using 10 million. So the total decrease for reclaimed commodity and GPF is $2,200 a month for the average TURF customer using 10 million gallons. For GPF, expenses include the NWRRDS capital expenses, which are paid for by existing customers. The growth portion is paid by the impact fees, and you can see in 2021 cash reserves are $11 million, and in 2024-25 they dropped to $1.5 million, and that's using the funds.
Yeah, so just to dovetail in here, this is growth. The growth, 60% of NWRRDS is growth-related. And you can see here we're starting to spend those growth-related dollars, and we should be done with the project roughly 23-24. And then you'll see we're starting to accrue cash reserves because we're completed with that project. Thank you.
The recommendation on water rates for 2021 is for potable water rates, an increase of the potable base rate, no change to potable commodity rate, no change to potable GPF. For reclaimed water rates, no change to reclaimed base rate, a decrease to the reclaimed commodity rate, and a decrease to the reclaimed GPF. What does the potable base rate increase look like for next year? 88% of our customers have a 5/8 inch meter and will see a dollar per month or 2.4 increase in their bill regardless of how much water they use. Currently, the potable base rate is 18.26. The proposed goes to 19.26 for a dollar increase.
And I'd like to add in for the commission's benefit here. So the $1 base rate increase, that's for a 5/8 inch meter. And if you look here, you'll see the base rate increase is more than a dollar as you get into the larger meter sizes. And this is, as I had kind of touched base during the impact fee analysis, the impact that the larger meters have on the system are much greater than the impact than a typical 5/8 inch residential meter. These numbers here are derived from factors that we use that are provided from the American Water Works Association. This association is one that all water service providers tend to subscribe to, and it's based on the impact it has on the system. So you'll see the larger the meter size, the larger impact. But so I don't think we have any 8-inch meters in our system, but for example, we have a 6-inch meter. And just to offer some perspective, because I look at this and I'm like, well, $50.19, it's a lot more than a dollar. But just to give some perspective, like for example, La Cholla Air Park, we master meter to their system. They have a 6-inch meter. And so their base rate, they'll see a $50.19 increase every month to their water bill. But if you consider they're serving 100 homes, so you take that base rate and divide it by 100 homes, these are kind of little checks I do to make sure we're being equitable. You can see, so that's a 50-cent increase for their base rate if you were to look at it that way. So those are just little checks we do to, even though these are AWWA standards, everybody subscribes to them, we still do look at, how are we affecting our customers. Same with, a 2-inch meter. A lot of our apartments will have several 2-inch meters. So but when you break it down and look at the cost per what would be resident, it works out to seem to be equitable. Commissioner Mielke.
Is the increase the same percentage for each meter size?
It isn't.
It isn't.
For each meter size, the percentage increase is not the same. Okay. And what it comes down to, it's not linear either. What it is they look at for a 6-inch meter. I mean, a 6-inch meter can flow a lot of water. And the infrastructure has to be able to provide that. So it just looks on what is the potential demand on the system. Thank you.
This is a comparison of monthly bills to other service providers for a 5/8-inch meter. 88% of water utility customers have a 5/8-inch meter and consume on average 7,000 gallons per month. The cost for 7,000 gallons currently is $40.94, and that would increase to $41.94. That's still lower than the other local water providers, and it's lower within the other tiers also.
And once again, commissioners, these are just checks we do. We have to operate our system the way we operate it, regardless of where we fall within other water service providers' rate structures in southern Arizona. But we do look at where we fall, and for several years now, we've been able to provide, I think, a very high level of service with a very modern system that's technologically advanced, and we're able to do it for less money. So that's something we'll always strive to do. But we just think this is an important thing to point out that we're still, no one likes increasing rates. We don't like it either. These are just pass through costs. Our cost of doing business goes up, but it looks like we're doing it very competitively. Thank you.
What does the reclaimed commodity rate and GPF look like for next year? The commodity rate per 1,000 gallons is currently at $2.27. The proposed is $2.15 for a decrease of 12 cents. The reclaimed groundwater preservation fee per 1,000 gallons is currently at 47 cents and proposed to be 37 cents for a 10 cent decrease. And these decreases are primarily attributed to the implementation of the new reclaimed cost allocation model, which resulted in a decrease in overall costs allocated to the reclaimed system. Here's a schedule of upcoming meetings. Today is the Water Utility Commission meeting recommendation on water rates. On March 4th, the Town Council adoption of notice of intent to increase rates. April 3rd, published public hearing date on town website. May 1st, published notice of intent in newspaper. June 3rd, Town Council public hearing on proposed rate increase. On July 3rd, new rates become effective, and on August 1st, begin billing new rates. The water utility staff respectfully requests that the commission make a recommendation to forward the water rates and GPF fee as determined in the preferred financial scenario to the mayor and council for their consideration for approval. This concludes my presentation, and Peter and I can answer any of your questions.
Mostly Mary.
No, mostly.
Will there be a full water rates analysis document forwarded to the council with the recommendation?
Yes.
When might that be available to us?
So our water rates report, when we submit this to council, at that point it'll be public information, and there'll be a public meeting that's part of the process. It'll be before the June 3rd public hearing, but I'll get back to you with we can get back to the commission with an exact date when it'll be available for review.
But not before the notice of intent?
No, not before the notice of intent.
Is it going to be available online, or how would that be?
Yes, you will have it available in the town's administration building as well as the water utility building and our website.
Questions?
Well, I would just like to reemphasize that the finance subcommittee spent a lot of time going through this material in great detail and discussing many of the aspects of it, and I think we were very pleased with the final outcome.
The way you described the process, I was becoming a little worried as what the final outcome is going to be, but I'm pleased also.
The staff is very appreciative and would like to thank the finance subcommittee. We had several meetings. We had several different scenarios, and this was the first time ever, and for sure in my tenure here, where we considered a change in the reclaimed rate. And as we found, you know, we had a consultant help us look at the reclaimed rate and do a cost of service, you know, analysis. And, you know, we built upon the methodologies we had established 2 years ago, and with a methodology that just gave us a little better resolution, and it turned out to be a decrease. So, you know, that was something we really had a lot of discussion about and made sure we were doing the right thing. But the staff is very appreciative of the finance subcommittee and for all their time. Thank you.
Okay. That's all the discussion. Do we have a motion on this item?
I would like to move the council endorse the water rates as presented I'm sorry, that the commission endorse the water rates as presented and recommend transmission to the council.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you to everyone who worked on that. Okay, town council meeting communications. Council member Pina.
Thank you, Chair McMillan, commissioners. Since I was last here, I'm going to go through some of the items that council has been working on for the month of January. First things first, the council just chose an internal candidate to be our new police chief. That is Kara Riley. The council will be discussing and voting on the contract for Commander Riley on February 5th at the February 5th council meeting. And so we should have that, if all goes well, that should be finalized and then put into place. The other item that's happened in January is the annual comprehensive financial audit for the report covering fiscal year 18 and 19 has been completed by a third-party auditor. And not only does it have all of the town's financials, but it also has the water utility. And there were no findings in that report. And there was a presentation presented to council from the auditing firm. And so that was done also in January with no findings. The other item that we've been working on and actually had a chance to review at council is we're looking at Tech Park use code amendments, and this is based on what they call the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategies, called SEEDS. It's what the council voted on this past year, and what the planning department and community economic development would like to do is look at ways to strategize the development process, as well as look at some codes that would be more economic development friendly in what they call the EEZ zones, which is the economic expansion zones based around our tech parks. And so we had the first study session for those code amendments. The town staff had presented to council on that. And so we will be looking at those again, which will be on the February 5th council meeting. And then also with regards to that, and Peter touched on it earlier, is the impact fee analysis. The council had the opportunity to do a study session in January on the impact fees by Tischler Bache, the consultant that's been charged with completing this. And so the council has had their first round of study sessions. That will be coming back, it's my understanding, I think the first council meeting in March. So that we'll be looking at that again for the impact fee analysis. And as far as other items, that's really it for January. So I appreciate the opportunity and thank you.
The impact fee analysis by the town council, is that open to the public or is that an internal meeting?
Chair McMillan, there was actually a public hearing on that and then we held a study session.
Thank you very much. Subcommittee, commissioner reports, finance subcommittee.
I would like to make a comment. I have chaired that committee for some time now, and since this is going to be my last year on the commission, I think it would be very nice if we had a new chairperson for the committee. I would like to continue on the committee, but I think it would be nice to get somebody who's new to the job and will continue on past this year to chair it.
So is that a action that has to happen at a finance subcommittee meeting? Yes.
Yeah, yes, Chair McMillan. last month, we selected our subcommittee members. So when we have our first finance subcommittee, as well as water resources and conservation subcommittee, we'll select new chairs or keep the current chair. But for those folks that are on the finance subcommittee, that's something to think about. The current chair has expressed his interest in a succession plan. So other finance subcommittee members, think about if you'd like to be the chair.
Resources Conservation Subcommittee has nothing to report at this time. So we'll move on to staff reports or resources usage report. Peter.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. So this is a report that I provide quarterly to the commission, as well as I provide the same information quarterly to the town manager and council by way of the manager's monthly executive report. So our fourth quarter, or for the year 2019, I have some excellent water resource news. The water utility continues to successfully deliver Central Arizona Project water and reclaimed water to reduce our community's reliance on groundwater. This following graph, it compares annual water deliveries to both the Oro Valley service area, and the next slide shows the countryside service area by water type for the past 14 years. So what we're looking here is, this is 2006. So in 2006, heavily reliant on groundwater. Groundwater is the blue part of the bar, and we had just started delivering reclaimed water. So in the previous year, I think we were over 10,000 acre feet of solely reliant on groundwater. So we started bringing in reclaimed water. You know, every acre foot of reclaimed water is that much less groundwater that needs to be pumped. Then in 2012, the green here indicates we started taking deliveries of our CAP water through a wheeling station through an IGA with Tucson Water to wheel a portion of our CAP water to our service area. And then as time went on, we added additional wheeling stations. We added one at Cayo Buena Vista, one at Countryside, and then in 2018 we added a fourth one at Oracle and Hardy. What this yellow line represents is several years ago we had a consultant look at our aquifer. This was back when we were, you know, pumping over in these areas over here in the 2010-11 area. And we're trying to determine what was a sustainable pumping rate of our aquifer. And anyways, that's what this yellow line represents. Qualitatively, since we've been dipping below that line, yet we still have some well water level declines, you know, anecdotally, I'd say obviously our sustainable rate is going to be below that. But here's the real great news. I mean, because of the commissioning of the Oracle and Hardy wheeling station, in 2019, we delivered more CAP water than we ever have before. We delivered 2,303 acre feet. And the previous year, we had 1,939 feet. So, you know, almost 400 extra acre feet of CAP water delivered to our service area. Reclaimed deliveries were down. That's because we had almost a full year of no deliveries being taken by Vistoso. Our reclaimed in 2018 was a little over 1,800 acre feet, and this year we're just under 1,700 acre feet. Interesting thing to note, so yeah, great news, you know, this strong decline in groundwater pumping, bringing in more of our CAP. You know, we lost Vistoso, but we're holding steady with reclaim. But what's interesting to know is just the overall consumption. We still see this declining trend here for the last 14 years. And we've talked about this, and this isn't unique to just water utilities. It's gas companies, power companies are seeing the same thing. And here again, in our industry, we attribute it to the intended and unintended conservation, those things we've talked about before. next month, I'm hoping to be reporting to the commission our kind of like the state of the aquifer report. This time of year is when we take our static water level readings of all of our wells. I'm really hoping that with this decrease in groundwater production and the much improved hydrology we had last year and the beginning part of this year, really hoping to see some recovery in our wells, so stay tuned for that. The next slide here shows Countryside. Countryside doesn't receive any reclaimed deliveries, just groundwater and CAP water. But here again, you know, even though we still delivered the same amount of CAP water as we did last year, we're at about 180 acre feet. But groundwater production dropped, you know, roughly, you know, 30 acre feet. And I attributed that to, you know, maybe a little bit of that intentional and unintentional conservation, but more than likely due to the improved hydrology we had in 2019, we had some great, great wet months there. So it's, you know, I would say it's primarily attributed to that. But overall, really good news from a water resource perspective. Maybe not the best news from a revenue standpoint, but we're holding steady and managing. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good news. We have a capital projects report from Lee.
Good evening, Chair. I'm going to give you an update today on the capital projects, beginning with the Thomas Valley. The well drilling and well development is complete. Well permitting for this well is permitted for a capacity of 900 gallons per minute. Site design is approximately 90% complete. Off-site electrical is currently in design. We're about 50% complete on that. Construction for the site improvement to begin this fiscal year, and well equipment next fiscal year, beginning in July, August, time frame. See, this is well C8 rehab. We've gone in. We've video logged the well, pulled the existing pump. We're going to replace the pump motor. We did some well casing patching. And that's what you can see here on this slide. They're inserting well patches. There was some deterioration in the casing. Well equipping, the header pipe is going to be replaced, as well as the chlorinator and the HP tank in the following fiscal year. We plan on having this completed this fiscal year as far as the header pipe and the well insulation, so we should be back in service probably this month of February. LaChoya, we're about 95% complete with the water modifications, relocation. 5% is going to be raising the valve boxes and covers once the final pavement is laid down. And then we've got some valves that are being replaced, including 25 ARVs this fiscal year, and several gate valves. The Naranja Reservoir, the rehabilitation and recoating of the interior is being complete. It was sandblasted, patching and some relining and coating was completed this fiscal year. Our production facility wall rehabilitation is complete. Repairs to the masonry structural walls, some patching, some painting. That's also been complete this year. We're doing some upgrades to the electrical and to the lighting as well as part of our security upgrades to that facility. And that should be complete this fiscal year as well.
Lee, just out of, for my curiosity, where is well C6, is it?
Well
C8.
Well,
sorry.
Well C8 is between Naranja and Lambert Lane, kind of off of Pocatello. It's kind of hidden in the neighborhood there. What did you say?
I'm an office guy, so I don't know what that is anymore.
I'm not going to go see it. I just wanted a general first, right? Geographic Lampignano. Idea.
So, right, so geographically, it's between Naranja is on the north, Lambert's on the south, Lampignano to the west, and First would be the east in that general area.
So just like Rick said, it's out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
From here, it's to the east of us.
Okay.
What's the status of the well at Steam Pump?
So the status of the well at Steam Pump, we're in the process of equipping that. That we're in design. The civil design is currently being done. We don't expect that to get started probably until next fiscal year as far as construction goes. We should have 100% design complete, including electrical, this fiscal year.
Okay, thanks.
So that's moving along as well.
Any other questions? Thank you, Lee. Next item is director's report.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Chair. Last report here. So just not much to report, you know, nationally, regionally, locally, there's not a tremendous amount going on, and that's okay. We'll take that because we're in rate setting and budget season. So upcoming meetings, the day after tomorrow, we have town council regular session right here in council chambers at 6 p.m. And then February 19th, town council regular session, council chambers at 6 p.m. And then March 9th is our next Water Utility Commission meeting right here in council chambers at 5 p.m. And Chair McMillan was affectionately referring to this graph that for the last 2 years, year and a half, I've really liked showing. The veteran commissioners will remember that when we were in 2018 and we were trending this yellow line here, which is significantly below the median and average. What this represents is snowpack in the upper basin states, and this is really important for the health of the reservoirs at Powell and Lake Mead. Red is the thick red is the median, and the light red is the average. In 2018, it was just a really rough year for the river, Colorado River system, and I didn't like reporting very much, but. But then what happened is we had 2019, which is this blue line up here, and I think I showed this to the commission about every month. Now here we are at 2020, and you know we're doing good. We're tracking a little bit above average, a little bit above median, and if the weather does what we hope it does, hope we can have a bump up here and be well over the average and the median. So stay tuned, but things are tracking okay so far. At least we're not down here. We want to be up here. So stay tuned. Thank you very much.
Agenda items. Okay, do you have a motion on adjournment?
I move adjournment.
Second. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Who second the motion?
Reynolds.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for the 5 p.m. starting time. We finished.